Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right here on The Fan. From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air on this Get Ready for the Great White Death Wednesday. Can you believe it? Great White Death comeback. Now, we're getting flurries in Milwaukee, but if you look around the rest of the state, they've got winter warnings and blech. And I saw, like in the Wausau area, they're looking for anywhere from 5 to 10 to maybe 13 inches of snow. It's just, man, this just sucks. Hopefully at some point it definitely warms up in the next couple of weeks. It looks like it's at least going to be in the 50s over the weekend. But man, oh man, oh man, this is just awful. Well, hopefully we warm your hearts a little bit today, or at least take your attention away from the crappy weather that is. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do it, 855-830-8648. You can also track us down over on the Facebook fan page. You can track us down there, facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. You can also find us over on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, @RadioJoeSports. There's the website, which is BillMichaelsSports.com. And don't forget, take us everywhere on the radio.com app. So now you're all caught up in the weather, the Great White Death, all that kind of stuff. It's a coming. You're starting to get it, that big line right there through Dubuque, all the way down to about Chicago. Up on the western portion of Minneapolis, that whole line is going to start making its way through the state here in the next, couple hours. So get ready. Great White Death. Blech. There you have it. Last night, speaking of blech, it was not a good night. Peralta went to the hill. Freddie Peralta, 3 1/3, 8 hits, 7 runs all earned. He was throwing BBs down the middle of the plate last night, early on in that ballgame. Albers comes in. Goes an inning and a third, a couple of hits and a run. Claudio ends up being the loser in this one by the time it was all said and done. He goes an inning and a third and gives up a run as well. But 8 strikeouts, 6 walks. Walks specifically late. Petrisca, he ended up getting a couple of walks. Wilson with a couple of walks. And those came back to bite him ultimately. And that was the end of it. And the Brewers ended up losing. So this is the first series of the season they lose. First series of the season, they lose. They fall last night, the Angels, 11-8. Not a good look for the Brewers last night. Not the way you wanted to go down. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Last night, look, there was a lot of people. I was watching people on Twitter last night. We are a reactionary society, I'll tell you that right now. Still a game and a half up on Pittsburgh, by the way. Still a game and a half up on St. Louis. 4 games up on the Cubs. 5 games up on Cincinnati. So there's no reason to be freaking out and panicking. They're 8-4 on the season. Still a winning record. 4 games above 500 and only 12 games in. I'm not panicking. But last night, there was a mammoth discussion going on. Now, I just got in it because somebody tagged me. But I really kind of just hung back. But last night, the discussion was, you're going with a bunch of young guys, you're depending on a bunch of these young arms, and if you've missed, if you've guessed wrong, this, no matter how good the offense is, and the offense is good, no matter how good the offense is, it's going to come back and bite you. You're not going to have enough pitching to get it done, which is the same thing they're saying right now down in Chicago. The difference is they went out and spent the money to get the pitching. And it's still not that good. So pitching can be hit or miss, and we all know that. But right now, it's not great. So the pitching has not been what they've hoped it would be. So you're hoping Jeremy Jeffress, who did not have a great outing last night down in San Antonio, by the way, you're hoping Jeremy Jeffress can make his way back. Jimmy Nelson can eventually come back. And then it would be, in essence, getting like a couple of free agents that are going to come in and bolster your rotation and your pen. But last night, not great. Not great. 855-830-8648. Do you think that the Brewers, this early in the season, do you think that this team maybe overestimated their pitching? See, I'm not getting into that right now. You're only 10, 12 games in. Once you get to 25, 30 games in, you can start looking at this thing going, okay, once you get out of the month of April, okay, maybe got a couple of guys with a couple starts under their belts, and if you have one good one, one bad one, you're still, doing okay. But if you have, like, consistent bad outings, then you can say, well, yeah, maybe we missed on something here. But right now, I'm not panicking. Last night, there was some angst going on among Brewers fans, and I'm comfortable right now. I don't know about you, but I'm comfortable right now. Now, you hate to see them get swept, so today you want to see some grit, fight back from the losses, and at least salvage the last game of the series before you go into L.A. to take on the Dodgers. I had said, and people are retweeting, going back to April 1st, the difference between this Brewers team and the Brewers teams of years past, this team, this group of guys have learned how to win when coming from behind. There's something to be said for that type of experience. And I meant it. And I know last night people are saying, wow, you look at it this way, they didn't come back and win that game last night. You know what? They battled back last night. They kept battling back last night. This loss is not on the offense. This loss was strictly on pitching last night and the inability to throw strikes when you need it. And when you throw leadoff walks, that's going to kill you. That's just going to kill you. And that's where the Brewers need to get better. So last night, the Angels, 11 runs, 12 hits, and an error. Brewers, 8 runs, 10 hits, and an error. They are back at it again today. And hopefully, there's bigger and better things on the horizon for the Milwaukee Brewers. 855-830-8648. Now, are you feeling the same? Are you in full-fledged panic mode, like many people are? Just thought I'd throw it out there. Woodruff on the hill tonight, Pena on the hill tonight for the Angels. Woodruff 1-0, Pena 0-1. Both of them with an ERA. Woodruff at 6, 540 for Pena. So hopefully the Brewers' bats heat up or continue to at least stay hot. And they walk away with a victory tonight before going into Chavez Ravine and taking on the Dodgers. So I'm good with it. I don't know about you, but I'm good with it. I'm not panicking. I'm fine. Don't worry. Hang in there. You wait till about 20, 30 games into the season before you start going into full-fledged panic mode. And then, at least then you're a fifth of the way through the season. You know what I mean? 855-830-8648. This is Maddie. Maddie tweeted us last night and said, this is ridiculous. Why did they not do more to bolster the starting rotation? Keuchel is sitting out there. He's a ground ball pitcher, and these guys are throwing up big, fat, juicy ones. That was the discussion. That was the discussion on Twitter last night over and over and over and over and over again. That was the discussion. We'll get into that coming up here in a little bit as well. By the way, now, the national media has chimed in on the Aaron Rodgers stuff, and if you're in an area in which you heard the piece that I did last night for the morning shows, you kind of know where I'm at on this. Now, look, yesterday, no matter what you think, yesterday was Aaron Rodgers now spoke, Greg Jennings spoke. By the way, when Aaron Rodgers said it's the same two guys, Ryan Grant was in that piece. Harris was in that piece. It's not the same two guys. There were the same two guys that he's heard about before were in there, yes. But there were more than just two former players that spoke in that Tyler Dunn piece.
Yeah, but Ryan Grant and DeJuan Harris weren't taking shots at
Rodgers.
No,
they weren't taking shots. No, I understand that. But there was more people that were on the record than off the record. Look, people seem to think that we have some kind of in for Aaron Rodgers, and we don't. I mean, I hope he comes back. I hope he has an MVP season. I hope he plays well, and this Packers team goes deep into the playoffs. All this is a glimpse from people's opinions that were inside the walls at 1265. It's a glimpse of their opinions inside the walls where we don't go. That's it. Take it for what it's worth. If you don't like it, you don't like it. That's fine. If you do like it, that's great. If you appreciate it, that's fine too. I'm not saying everything in there is 100% factual. Okay? It's people's opinions as they see it, whether they have an agenda. I just don't think you throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, you just don't dismiss everything. And people say, well, why are you getting on his back? Well, first of all, it's not on just Aaron Rodgers' back. I mean, it's just a glimpse behind what was a dysfunctional situation. People all the time call the postgame show. When Gary and I are there, they're screaming and yelling about they should have more championships. Why are all these problems? They don't look prepared. They look like, you know, Mike McCarthy's calling the wrong plays all the time. And we kept saying, you know, you got to understand the inner workings here. Okay? It's not all Mike. It's not all Aaron. It's not all Mark. It's not all Ted. It's not all Gutekunst. But now you can see what the dysfunction was, and probably one of the bigger reasons as to why this team doesn't have more championships. That's what this piece is. This piece isn't a I'm going to tear you down type of piece. This piece is a there was dysfunction there. You know, there was a dislike of working relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. There was a willful blindness, if you will, from Mark Murphy towards Ted and Mike and the football side of things. And things got out of hand. And then, you know, you had to, you know, get Ted out of there. You got Mike out of there. You bring in Gutekunst. You bring in a new regime. Aaron Rodgers gets paid. He's dealing last year with a bad knee and a bad, you know, a fractured bone. This is what you're looking at. There's a lot of things swirling, but you can ultimately see the big picture, which is this is one of the reasons they just didn't win more championships. That's it. I don't look at every detail and go, well, that's not true. The whole thing's not true. You don't do that. You just look at it and go, okay, where there's smoke, there's fire, and there probably were some problems behind closed doors. Okay, they've kind of opened the doors now, let out hopefully all the bad air, and now you just move on. That's what yesterday was. Whether you're a national writer or a local media person, that's what yesterday was. 855-830-8648. Now, I'll flip the table. Let's go to the positive. How confident are you coming back healthy, a year and a half removed now from the collarbone, knee is healthy, fractured bone is healthy, the concussion is cleared, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, general manager's been doing well. You get an addition of a Cole Madison come walking through the door. You pick up some free agents in the offseason to just at least sustain and bolster your defense a bit. How confident are you Aaron Rodgers comes back and has an MVP season? Or at least has an MVP season before he retires? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. I think it's a legitimate question. Because from everything we know, he puts a lot of this stuff. I mean, he sounded mad. You know, maybe it was because the emperor was exposed, or it's because it was all crap. We don't know. But he sounded mad, and you can just assume that he's going to throw this all in that quiver of chips that he keeps on his shoulder, and he's going to use it as more motivation than ever. And I have a feeling Aaron Rodgers is going to come out and have an incredible, incredible year this year. How confident are you that Aaron Rodgers has an MVP season again, whether it's this year or in the coming years, before he retires? Maybe two. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you are here today. Keeping your mind away from the snowmageddon about to hit. I know. Just the other day, I'm going to post it too, out in the over in the Facebook fan page. I'll post that in a little bit. But the other day, we were out, Sherry and I were sitting out back. Finally got the tiki bar up. Got the new. When we bought the house, it came with this big hut thing. This palm frond leaves type over the tiki hut. And it was kind of crappy and disintegrating, so we bought a new one. Finally got the new one on and got the signage up and the lights going and the whole thing. And it was great sitting outside the other day with the dogs laying on the patio and just enjoying the sunshine and 70-degree weather and having a cocktail. And now this. This is like running out of the tunnel for your first big game. You know, you're gonna be down at the first baseline, right? Oh my God, I'm coming out of the dugout, Crowd's yelling. I'm looking around, and then there's that base hit. I mean, that just ball that is smoked towards you, and you realize you forgot to wear a cup, and it hits you right there. You're down. You're breathing heavy. You're Bill Murray in it. That's what you're doing right now. That's what winter's doing to us. It gives us a glimpse. We run out. We're like, yeah, this is great. Bam, right in the crotch. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so. Again, 855-830-8648. How confident are you that Aaron Rodgers, after all that's been said and all that's been written, it's all said and done, how confident are you that he's going to bounce back and give you in the next year or two or even three another MVP season? 855-830-8648. Let's get to it, shall we? Let's go to Joe, listening to us in Oconomowoc. Joe, welcome to the program. What's going on in your world?
Good morning, Bill.
What's happening?
Say, you know, I hate to date myself, but when Holmgren got hired, I was excited. When Sherman got hired, I was excited. When McCarthy got hired, I was excited. I kind of got a pit in my stomach about LaFleur and every coach he's hired other than the defensive coordinator. I just don't feel like they're good fits. And, you know, I think everything about the Packers is said by Bruce Arians not coming here.
Well, Bruce Arians said he wanted no part of Green Bay.
Yeah, why?
I think because of everything that was going on and all the rumors that were floating around out there about what was going on behind closed doors.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Aaron has another MVP season, if I were a GM in the NFL, I would say, coaching really does not have a lot to do with this.
I don't know as much about look, let me say this, because people want to, you know, kind of knock the article and everything, and that's fine, and I don't have a problem with that. I mean, everybody's got their own opinion. I just remember sitting at Super Bowl in Atlanta, and that is like a who's who of the NFL. It's past coaches, players, it's former trainers and people that are in the know. Agents are walking around, current players. And it wasn't like one or two people. There was more than a few people that said, I don't want any part of Green Bay because of what was being said and the rumors that were coming out. It wasn't just, you know, one or two people that were saying things, and people didn't want to go on the record to say stuff like that. And, you know, that's why we didn't talk about it a whole lot. But, you know, I don't know what to believe, you know, because there are some people, I mean, many people came to Aaron Rodgers' defense and they said, hey, he's our guy. But there was more than a few people did behind closed doors said, no, it's not what it appears to be, and don't be fooled by it. You know, so I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I don't know if Matt LaFleur is – I hope Matt LaFleur has the chops to be able to kind of wrap his arms around it and say, I'm your head coach, and you're going to follow me, and here we go.
Well, you know, I believe a lot of the article. Not all of it, but I believe a lot of it. And, you know, how far down the totem pole did they have to go to get Matt LaFleur? I mean,
depends on what you believe. Mark Murphy says that he was the guy they interviewed and he knocked their socks off. So,
that
would have been their first choice.
Thompson stay too long?
What's that?
Mark Murphy who let Thompson stay way too long?
Yeah, he let Thompson probably go a year or two, a little bit too long in that. Yeah, no doubt.
Anyway, hey, have a great day. Good luck.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it, man. He drops off. You get on board, 855-830-8648. Again, not defending Mark Murphy heavily, but I always get the Mark Murphy Bob Harlan comparison. And that's an unfair comparison. You're actually taking down your own argument, because remember, Bob Harlan, when he came in, he looked at things and said, okay, I need a football guy here. So he hired Ron Wolf, who immediately came in, went to a practice, looked at Bob and said, you're okay with me firing Lindy Infante, right? And Bob's like, it's your team. You do what you want with it. You know, I want to be able to run the business side of things. Football people run the football side. And Ron, after 2 weeks, called Lindy Infante and said, you're done. You're out. And he hired Mike Holmgren. And then he made the trade. He gets Brett Favre. He gets Reggie White. Everything starts to fall into place, and things begin to move forward. But Bob made it a policy. I am staying out of the football side of things. Keep me apprised as to what's going on, but I'm staying out of football. But that was the advice Bob gave to Mark. When Mark took over, hey, stay out of the football side of things. Ted's running things. Ted's got a handle on it. You're good to go. Don't worry about it. Just stick to growing the business side and keeping this team viable so we never have to get back to a referendum to try to save this team from possibly moving out of the area. And Mark said, you got it. So Mark did exactly what Bob would have done until he realized that things were just really bad, because Mark did everything he could to resist the temptation to meddle. And now that he's actually done something, people say, well, now you're meddling. Well, you can't have it both ways. You know, he had to knock down those communication silos, and that's what they've done because things got so bad. He's trying to make sure that that doesn't happen again. Instead of knocking them down, you probably should be going, you know what, good for him. They hired LaFleur. They brought him in. You haven't heard from Mark since. I told you, Mark is going to go by the wayside. Mark's going to go back to running the business. He's going to look over the shoulders, sure. But Mark's going to go back to running the business. You know, make Titletown bigger. Buy up more houses. Make more money and more revenue for the Packers. That's what you're supposed to do. Keep the team viable. 855-830-864. Let's go to Chuck listening to us in Green Bay. Chuck, how you doing today, man? What's happening?
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Bill. Listen, I listen to your show most of the time, but I wasn't able to hear an answer to a question that came up a couple of days ago. This thing with Aaron Rodgers' leg, his injury to his leg.
Mm-hmm.
How do the Packers not have to report that to the NFL? Because that never showed up on an injury report.
No idea. No idea at all. And you know what? I can't. Because people were faulting the medical staff. The medical staff only reports what the injury is. And I know Doc McKenzie. Pat is a tremendous guy, and he keeps the health of the players first and foremost. I can't imagine at all Pat telling Aaron go play unless he felt that he was okay to play. But as far as not reporting it, I have no idea.
I guess my question is, do they have to report it if the player is going to play? Or is it just something that if it's an injury that's going to keep the player out of the game, do they have to report?
Well, you can write it up as Aaron Rodgers, you know, probable knee. Okay, you don't have to disclose exactly what the injury is. You just say he's got a knee injury. You can just write it up that way. And he was on the injury report for a while. But it begs the question then, you know, because a bone, let's be honest, if you've ever broken a bone, it usually takes anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks, depending. So if he did it in week one, then come week 16, it should have been okay. Other than really sore, it should have been okay. You know what I mean? So I'm not worried about the latter portion of the season. How many weeks was he actually on the injury report where it was just listed as Aaron Rodgers' probable knee? You know what I mean? And that's all they had to do. They don't have to disclose more than that. And I know people appreciate the phone call. I know people are up in arms about that. But I remember Aaron Rodgers was on the report for a while. And once they slipped that brace off, you didn't really see him out there anymore. You know, you didn't. And I can't remember off the top of my head what the injury reports were, but they don't have to say knee fracture. You know, they don't have to do that. All they have to do is just say Aaron Rodgers probable knee. That's it. They're not obligated for more than that. Now the question becomes: if this guy's playing with what was a healing fracture and an MCL. I appreciate Aaron Rodgers playing. I really do. I appreciate the last couple weeks of the season, him being there and playing, because that's at least a guy that's walking a walk. He also knows the shoes that he had to fill when he took over that spot. So if he can walk and he can play, you got to be out there. So I appreciate that. But as a you know, staff or management of that team, I think I would have shut him down and just said, hey, that knee injury, it just, you know, it's taking time, and we don't want to say with nothing to play for, because there are guys that are playing for jobs, but, you know, in the best interest of Aaron and the franchise, we're going to set him down and take the decision out of his hands. But I appreciate Aaron Rodgers for going out there and playing. You cannot say at all. I don't want to hear the fragility thing anymore. He's fragile. Remember, Favre played with bad ankles. Favre played with a broken thumb. Favre played with everything, but he played. In today's day and age, he wouldn't have played nearly as much, because if he had as many concussions as he said he had, then he would have been in concussion protocol quite a bit. So he wouldn't have played. That Ironman record would not have been set. So the comparison right now is apples and oranges. Aaron Rodgers broke two collarbones, yes, but everything else he has played through, including a broken foot and now a broken, fibula. Give the guy some credit, man. 855-830-8648. Hang in there. KJ, Mark, and a cast of thousands all on hold. This portion of the program being brought to you by Quick Trip. Don't forget a Quick Trip. NBA playoffs are getting ready to get underway. The Bucks are going to be playing, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, we'll have to wait and see. But Quick Trip and Red Bull, they have teamed up, and what they've got for you is this. They're going to provide you, a lucky fan, with a VIP playoff experience. Stop by your neighborhood Quick Trip and purchase a 12-ounce can of Red Bull with your Quick Rewards card. You're automatically entered to win the grand prize. Two great seats, an on-court experience, food vouchers, some cool gear, and a whole lot more. Red Bull, Quick Trip, proud partners of Bucks basketball. And don't forget, today only, $1 for those chicken sandwiches right now inside your local Quick Trip. Stop in and say hi. And don't forget, go to Quick Trip, K-W-I-K, quicktrip.com/sweepstakes. For all the information on the raffle there, or on the Quick Rewards card, and getting yourself all bucked up, so to speak. Good stuff. When we come back, KJ Mark and a cast of thousands on hold. How soon, or if at all, do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be back to MVP form, and do you think he's going to win one or two or three before his career comes to an end? Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You don't get them girls loose, loose.
DJR.
You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money,
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do. You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money, but I do, I do.
I say y'all having a good time out there.
I know this is probably a really ironic tease, but summer will be here. Cousin Subs and Summerfest, they're teaming up once again in anticipation of warmer weather. God knows we need it. And the world's largest music festival with a special ticket offer. They got it going on right now. Simply place an order online at CousinSubs.com of $15 or more right now through April 30th, and you get yourself a free weekday Summerfest ticket. Now, this offer not valid in stores. One qualifying purchase per day per email will result in a free weekday ticket. Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. Hey, for the complete list of rules and details, go to CousinSubs.com/Summerfest. And as always, remember, they are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Aaron Rodgers played with a busted up knee. Not happy with people yapping about him, at least behind closed doors. Not happy with unnamed sources. I mean, what's he supposed to say? You know what? Between you and me, everything's true. Everything is true, you know? No, he's not going to come out and say that. He's going to say, look, I try to do the best I can. Some stuff he didn't deny. Kind of walked around it a little bit. But whether you believe it or whether you don't, the question is, now that the dust is settling and you can kind of see the bigger picture, as the dust comes kind of comes out of the air and it starts to hit the ground and you're looking a little more clearly at things, and there's the Packers and there's Lambeau and there's Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, and you can see them now. Okay, now that the dust is settling, do you feel, knowing what you know, all the facts and all the rumors and all the innuendos, that Aaron Rodgers has an MVP season or two or three in him? 855-830-8648. KJ, what's going on, man, in West Dallas? What's happening?
Good day, Bill.
What's going on?
Could Aaron Rodgers win a MVP or more? That's an interesting question, Bill. Me personally, I do not think he will. There are too many question marks that are out there that are yet to be answered with him. One is, can he stay healthy? I mean, obviously the timing is very questionable for me of why we did not know that he had a fractured fibula at the beginning of the year. And multiple injuries. I mean, he also had the MCL at the same time from game one. Can he stay healthy? He's got multiple screws in his shoulder. He's had several injuries with his shoulders. Now he's got the leg injuries. He's dealing with age, you know, Father Time. And is he coachable? I mean, he's got a brand new coach coming in. A whole new system. Is he going to be able to work with the new coaching staff that comes in? And let's face it, Aaron Rodgers, there's always been, in the last several years, drama with him off the field. I mean, I get it, the drama on the field, because, you know, when he doesn't win and he doesn't perform well, You know, Packer fans are going to be in an uproar, but there's been a lot of stuff off the field that has followed him and made it difficult for he and his teammates to have a smooth sailing, so to speak, in the locker room. A lot of issues that and drama. I mean, drama seems to follow him wherever and whatever he does, you know, with the Packers. And I don't know if that's going to be a question mark. He certainly could win an MVP, but I don't think at this particular time in his career he will.
Okay. All right. Fair enough, man. Good stuff, KJ. Appreciate it, buddy. Let's go to Mark listening to us in Gary, Indiana. I mean, KJ brings up some good points. Mark, what's going on, man?
Thanks a lot for taking my call, Bill. First of all, I'd like for us to go ahead and come to an agreement. Okay. Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, that whole debacle, about what time did it start? Most say that it started at that Seattle game, the NFC Championship game, correct?
Some do, yeah. I mean, some will say it started actually in Cincinnati when those two, you know, kind of had to blow up on the sideline, and then again in Detroit when Mike threw the challenge flag and didn't have any challenges, and things like that started to really irritate Aaron Rodgers.
Well, the one that really came to fruition is that Seattle game.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that even though we really should have won that game, I mean, there are multiple different reasons why we could have won the game if things would have been played a little different. Now, as far as the disagreement that McCarthy and Rodgers had, what was it? Rodgers wanted to go ahead and be a little bit more innovative, more creative, okay? McCarthy believed too much in the idea that, hey, as long as my players performed and executed the game plan and the scheme to perfection, it can't be defended. Is that correct?
Pretty much, yeah. He didn't think, put it this way, Mike didn't think that what he did was defendable. And, you know, what Mike didn't understand, or at least what his players thought, was we don't have the same guys to make it undefendable because everybody here that we have right now is either young or defendable.
And not to mention that's not really giving enough credit to the opposing defenses. We're talking about professional players.
Correct.
Okay. So my point is that NFC Championship game, and then you go in 2 years later, we played in the other NFC Championship game against Atlanta. Those two games, what do they have in common?
They had turnovers. But they also had a lot of look, that game that they played, that NFC Championship game they played in Atlanta, they had no business being there. They were a banged-up ragtag team of...
And I'm going to tell you why, though, okay? The first one against Seattle, who was the defensive coordinator?
Well, that was Dom Capers.
No, who was the defensive coordinator for Seattle?
Oh, God, off the top of my head,
Dan Quinn.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
And the head coach for Atlanta Falcons 2 years later was Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn, yeah.
Okay.
No doubt. Hey, here's the thing, though. Think about this, though. In that game against Seattle, had Micah Hyde been on the field for the two-point conversion and been looking for that, they would have won that game. Had they also had you don't have Julius Peppers telling Morgan Burnett to go down, they win that game. Had Bostic listened to Sean Slocum, they win that game. I mean, there was a lot of things that didn't involve some of the other things we're bringing into this. It was players. It was stupidity of players. And had Clay Matthews not taken himself out on the biggest play of that game, they may win that game. I mean, there was a lot of crap that went on via the players, not the coaches.
That game was very, very close is what we're saying.
Correct.
Okay? Now, if you go to the other end of the spectrum in 2016 when they played Atlanta, it was like Dan Quinn knew what the heck we were thinking, knew
yeah.
the plays we were putting in.
Yeah,
we had no business being on the field. Now, I'm not saying Dan Quinn was the reason, but I think what he did is he developed the blueprint on how to beat Aaron Rodgers in Mike McCarthy's system. Now the other comment.
I'll tell you who did that. You want to know who did that? The guy that's up there in Minnesota, Zimmer, did that. When Zimmer was with Cincinnati, he figured him out. Because the minute Clay Matthews went down, they ran roughshod over the Packers, and they did the same thing when he put that Vikings defense together as well, and they were able to beat up Aaron Rodgers. Oh, Zimmer gave everybody the blueprint, and everybody else just kind of tweaked it.
And that's what I'm saying. Dan Quinn tweaked it in the big stage, okay? However, the other common denominator here Who is the quarterback coach for Atlanta?
Oh, for Atlanta? Oh, you got me. I don't know.
Matt LaFleur. And who was the MVP of the league that year?
Matt well, that was Matt Ryan, yeah. Matt Ryan had an incredible year there.
That tells me Matt LaFleur, by many experts, before last year, was considered the most innovative and up-and-coming new coach that was out there. Okay.
Yeah, but there were rumors of him being fired down in Tennessee.
Yeah, but that was just because of what happened with his quarterback. His quarterback got hurt first week.
Right.
Okay, he didn't have anything to work with. Okay, but if you look at his past work, that right there tells me right now, Mark Murphy, the decision he made by a hiring Matt LaFleur, he's answering Aaron Rodgers' question and giving him what he wants to say. Hey, you want innovation? You want creativity? I'm going to give you it. But if you can't do it, this is going to be your chance. And I have every time Aaron Rodgers has put that chip on his shoulder and people have dared him to go ahead and perform, what has he done?
Okay. He's always – look, I appreciate the phone call, Mark. He's always come out and played well and kind of reproven himself. That's why I'm saying I believe what Aaron Rodgers – regardless of if you do or don't believe the article, if every detail in it is correct, if everything is factual, I still think the fact that everything's been ripped open, everything's been basically put in the quiver of chips on his shoulder, and Aaron Rodgers is going to come back and be a better quarterback because of it. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show. We continue on. We are glad you are here on this craptastic day as the weather turns colder. The flurries are falling. You're going to have a rain and snow mix. And the further north you go, it's just going to be snow and it's going to accumulate and blech. So I'm sorry about that. Not that I'm doing it, but I feel for you. I really do. This portion of the program, by the way, being brought to you by our good friends over at Bud Light. Now, summer will be here. I keep trying to give you these warm thoughts because Wednesday Night Live is going to be back at the Wisconsin State Fair Park this year at the Budweiser Pavilion stage. Yes, it's going to be there. Wednesday night, starting the first Wednesday in June is when it starts. Get out to the Budweiser Pavilion. Enjoy the summer. Get some brews under the stars. Great music. A lot of great people. Thousands of people have begun showing up for this thing. It's grown over the years, and it's a concert in the park. It just happens to be in the middle of State Fair Park, and it's free. That's the best part about it. It's all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Hey, coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking the Bucks and the OKC. Oklahoma City Thunder are in town. We're going to talk about that. We're going to hear from Dante DiVincenzo from last night, Milwaukee's basketball. By the way, I'm going to tell you something coming into the next hour about Dante DiVincenzo. Really good chat with him last night. Fun guy to get to know. So we're going to talk with him. Speaking of basketball, last night Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki both said their goodbyes. Dwayne Wade got a ton of pub. Dirk Nowitzki got an oh yeah, by the way, which I felt bad about. And then they're both upstaged by the inexplicable stepping down of Magic Johnson and the Lakers as the Lakers president. And we all know what happened there. He was basically run out by his own creation, and that is LeBron James. LeBron James wants his own people. He wants his entourage. He wants his coach. He wants and Magic's like, look, this isn't any fun. I brought LeBron here to play good basketball and to elevate this team. All he's done is be a whiner, a complainer. He has really, 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 in many people's minds, tarnished his image by going to L.A. and just being the diva guy that he seems to be. You know, from going out and eating sushi on a night when your team is playing, saying you're shutting it down and you're exhausted, but you're out with your wife and you're highlighting your new kicks on Instagram about the shoes you're wearing when your guys are up there playing in Utah. I mean, he's got a bad look going on right now.
Bill, it's crazy to think that you look at the Milwaukee Bucks. It took a new head coach, some key free agent signings, a couple of trades, and you have the best team in the NBA right now. Whereas LeBron alone should just top all of that from what the Bucks have done, because after all, people just expected the Lakers to be right there with Golden State and whether or not they could actually deal with Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. No, LeBron James going there has Magic Johnson stepping down, has chances are the coaching staff to be fired, and the fact that there's going to be no playoffs this year for the Lakers, and LeBron James is not going to be there. I mean, crazy days we are living in the year of our Lord 2019.
Yep. I completely agree. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. So that's what went on last night with Dwayne Wade. As he says goodbye, Dirk Nowitzki says goodbye. You've got a stepping down of the president of the L.A. Lakers in Magic Johnson. And the Bucks, they just kind of cruise into the postseason. Hopefully nobody gets banged up tonight. Take on OKC, get to the postseason, which starts this weekend. And tomorrow is when we find out the dates and times for the playoff series. And there's so many different scenarios for who the Bucks could face. We still don't know who the Bucks are going to face. So there's still a lot going on. So we're going to do that, break that down coming up in the next hour. Dante DiVincenzo, you're going to hear from. Aaron Sims, the voice of the Admirals. We're going to chime in with him. They are still efforting for the postseason. And Giannis is getting some hate, and it's just wrong on so many levels. We're going to talk about that as well. We still have Seth Evett, our National Baseball Insider, coming up. Jason Sobel, senior golf writer for the Action Network. He is covering the Masters. We're going to talk a little golf. Eric Name of the Athletic. We will get back to some Bucks. We'll talk a little bit more about Magic Johnson. Paul Limig, our Green and Gold analyst, is going to be here. We're loaded. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.